All right, well, good morning, everybody. My name's Stephen Hogg. I work as a wildlife specialist. How many people here have done seed collecting before? All right, well, welcome. We've got a pretty good group today, so we're going
to walk out. On a brisk fall morning, about a dozen volunteers are gathered at the Crowhassan Park Reserve in Hanover. The Three Rivers Park District has been restoring these fields for more than four decades. It's a pretty well-established prairie, so the seeds volunteers collect today will be used to restore other grasslands.
Today I'm collecting bergamot, and I've got purple prairie clover, another I'm collecting mountain mint.
That's Tom Anderson. He's here with his wife, Hazel Lutz.
I remember the first time I came out here, it was like coming into paradise. There were still August plants that were blooming.
There's a little spot about a mile from here that is on the top of a little hill that you couldn't easily get farm machinery to, and that is unbroken prairie.
You don't think of grasses as having flowers, but when you're out here and you're looking closely at things, you see so many beautiful things.
Tallgrass prairies are one of the most diverse ecosystems in the world. Prairies that haven't been plowed can have as many as 200 different species per acre. All these native plants provide food and habitat for threatened pollinators and wildlife. In fact, many animals can only live in prairies.
Species like Dakota skippers, prairie chickens, American badgers, these are all things that take large expanses of grasslands to be able to survive.
That's Steve Chaplin, a scientist with the Nature Conservancy. He says that prairies not only provide habitat for native species, but also offer practical ecosystem services. They prevent soil erosion, filter and store water, and remove carbon from the atmosphere. Many biologists believe that maintaining prairies will be even more important as the Midwest grapples with climate change.
Prairies are among the most resilient habitats, and to have the greatest diversity of native species will increase the likelihood at least some of those species are going to be able to survive a changing climate.
The impact prairies have had on the state's history can hardly be overstated. Native prairies were instrumental in developing the dense, nutrient-rich soil that made the Midwest farming country. But in the end, the quality of that soil proved disastrous for the grasslands. At one time,
the western third of the state was entirely covered by prairie.
That's Steve's coworker, Neil Feakin. He runs the Conservancy's Grassland Conservation Program.
Minnesota once had 18 million acres of prairie covering the state.
Over the last 150 years, prairies have been decimated by agriculture and development. Now we have approximately
235,000 acres of native prairie remaining in the state of Minnesota.
In other words, less than 2% of the state's native prairies survive, and only about half of the surviving grasslands are in long-term conservation programs.
Anecdotally, it appears that we're still losing prairie much faster than what we're able to restore or protect it.
Minnesota has been restoring prairies since at least the 1930s, but in 2008, prairie restoration and preservation efforts got a boost when voters approved the Clean Water, Land, and Legacy Amendment. That amendment created a special sales tax, and the money from that tax goes to preserving Minnesota's environment, parks, and culture.
That is providing a source of funds for habitat protection, and in particular, prairie habitat protection that we never really had before.
State officials expect that over the next two decades, more than $1 billion of clean water, land, and legacy money will go toward prairie conservation and restoration. Prairie advocates say that the most effective and affordable approach to maintaining grasslands is by protecting existing prairies. Targeted restoration helps, but it's very expensive, and it can take decades to establish a thriving grassland.
We can put prairie restoration in place that looks like a prairie and very much functions like a prairie, but it will never have all the species back in it that it did when it was a native prairie.
Back at Crowhassan Park, Stephen leads us from the parking lot out to the prairie.
Wow, I've never been here before. This is already kind of striking.
It's really beautiful out here. Once you come around the corner, you can see it. And it's just this big bowl that has all these tall grasses, and you can see lots of stuff that's even blooming right now.
To an inexpert eye, this restored grassland looks exactly like a native prairie. It's a success. But it shows just how difficult it is to build and sustain a new prairie. It took decades of work to restore. Thousands of volunteers have come out to collect seeds. and the staff are constantly working to maintain the fields, weeding, planting, and burning the tall grasses.
If we did nothing, then all this would be woods.
Minnesota is at a turning point. All across the state, prairie managers like Stephen are trying to save and rebuild grasslands. With a legacy amendment, the state made an unprecedented commitment to preserving and restoring the tall grass prairies of North America. But they're still under threat, and it may take decades before we know if that commitment will be enough. For KFAI, I'm Dylan Piers McCoy. Funding for 10,000 Fresh Voices on KFAI is made possible by a grant from the Minnesota Art and Cultural Heritage Fund. And in case you were wondering, the funding for that fund also comes from the Clean Water Land and Legacy Amendment.